Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Carl from the ISF podcast. And, of course, with me is my co-host, Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel. Yes, we know. And today, I want to welcome back a true friend of the podcast and a total madman who I just adore his films. And that would be Joe Badon, who's also, of course, a member of ISF. So say hello, yeah. Joe.
Hello, Joe.
See, everybody does.
Everybody does it now.
And I wanted to say I'm honored to be on the podcast. I'm, like, such a huge fan of Incredibly Strange films. The page in the old magazine and the whole deal. I'm just, like, I love this community. You know, I can't get enough of Eraserhead and Zardoz comments. So.
Well, you can never get enough of Zardoz. Eraserhead, I can understand. But Zardoz, come on. Come on.
No,
you
Sean
know,
Connery
not
and the
only
diaper.
Is he in a red suspender, he's a fucking Disney princess now.
Yes. Well, it's one of the greatest quotes in cinema history. What is it? The gun is good and the penis is evil. It's like, come on. That's amazing.
No. My favorite line from that movie is right at the beginning where Arthur Frayne is doing the prelude with the fake mustache and everything. And he said, and at the end he says, is God in show business too?
Yes. Such a great line. It's such a like weird Andy Kaufman character. It's just so great. I love it.
Yes, I took a woman on a first date to a double feature of that and the Don Johnson post-nuclear film.
Boy and His Dog.
Man and His Dog.
Hashtag, this is why I'm divorced.
How you said, I took a woman. Don't remember the name. Obviously didn't marry this person. Didn't go well after this.
It did not go well. Absolutely not.
That's hilarious.
You know, you make mistakes. I don't care. I fucking love both movies. So
obviously, don't write a dating book. You'll be fine. You know, number one, take your date to Zardoz.
And if you can find in a boy and his dog, there you go. Anyway.
It'll be the ISF guidelines for dating.
Right.
Depending on it.
And make it like a choose your own adventure so that whenever they make the wrong decision, like, so you've got the three scenarios, A, B, and C. It's like, hey, my date loved this movie. Marry that bitch. B, my date was mad about this movie. Take him to another movie and see how they react. See, my date walked out of this movie. Good. That means your date walked out of your life, too. You don't need that kind of negativity. Move to page C, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, now 100%. You understand why she's my co-host. Seriously.
Amazing.
Yes. So, we have a number of things to talk about. You've got a couple projects going on. But first, I want to tell everyone again, and it was my second favorite movie of last year. You lost out the Baccarat. I'm sorry, Joe, but okay.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you. I need dispensation from the Pope of the Odd. Trust me.
Can I
anyway,
put that on my, like, on my resume, Pope of the Odd? Is that me?
Yes. I have officially bestowed you the title of Pope of the Odd.
Nice.
A little far away, so if you've got a sword to dub yourself with, you go ahead.
Already done. It's a
careful
paper opener, like a letter opener, but it'll work.
Absolutely. In fact, it works better because I have a thing for office supplies.
Nice.
Okay, we're not
going to
go into your personal life, Rachel. I'm just saying.
Oh, wait. That's the wrong podcast. Sorry, guys.
Wrong meeting. Yes. Wrong meeting.
Nice.
Anyway.
Nice. Milk with stapler. I get it.
Yeah. I could start. Never mind. Let's get on to subject here. That would be a good thing. Otherwise, we'll just rip from the whole show.
Oh, yes.
So one of the things I want to say to the ISF members and people listening, if you have not seen Sister Tempest, you have to, just for the pure experience. Now, tell me what is going on with distribution on that, Joe.
With what?
What's happening? Yeah, what's going on with distribution? When is it going to be available?
Oh, gotcha, distribution. Sorry, I didn't understand your question for a second. So, yeah, so we're basically finalizing all the files with Dark Side Releasing. And that's what it's going to come out through is Dark Side Releasing. And I just literally talked to them yesterday about, like, a tentative date. And they're telling me September. And it'll be out on Blu-ray, DVD, and streaming. So pretty close, you know, pretty soon, a couple months. But September is the 10th, you know, sometime in September. So
Nice.
Yeah,
well, I would definitely order a copy. There is no doubt about that.
I'm very excited to go through Dark Side. They're a little more of a boutique, smaller distributor. And the Guntime Air, we went through Gravitas, but which was a bigger distributor, which was cool. But I wanted to go with somebody who, like, cared about the film, you know, somebody who was, like, a fan of the film. And so they just loved the film. They were just so into it. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be with them.
Yeah. Well, I will say this to our listeners, that it is a unique experience. It's, you're going to have a little bit of whiplash in that first 10 minutes.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
But I had Rachel watch some of it. She didn't get all the way through it. So, Rach, why don't you had a couple of questions for Joe?
Well, I actually have a few because you may or may not know this about me, as we met about 7 minutes ago.
Right.
I am very new to your work. Most of my stuff comes from streaming services.
Right.
So you don't have a lot available on streaming, I don't think, right now.
Yeah, my first anything film was A Gun Inside My Ear, and that was just...
And that's on Vimeo. I discovered that this morning.
Yes, it's on a bunch of different websites, you know. You can watch it through Amazon Prime and all that sort of crap.
Okay, yeah. Oh, and Tubi, that's the other one. Carl was saying that one of your...
Yes.
That one was on Tubi, too.
Yes, it's free with commercials on the Tubi, for sure.
Awesome. Well, so I'm new to your work, and Carl actually started me out with Sister Tempest, which I've been trying to watch for days, but it's been crazy.
totally fine.
And there's, like, just so many things. At first I was like, I don't know about this. And then the more you watch it, the more you get the feeling that even though it's not cohesive yet, that there's going to be something there that pulls it all together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm really, really excited to see the end, but I also have a really excitable four-year-old with me today. So I didn't get to finish all of it.
I understand. Well, you know, I like to, like, especially with Sister Tempest, I kind of did this with God's Time Air, but with Sister Tempest, I like the idea of starting out with chaos and eventually turning that into order. Kind of like the idea of, like, entropy, right?
Exactly.
And so I'm trying to, like, I know it sounds really stupid, and, like, I've probably been smoking too much or something, but I like the idea of kind of creating, like, the universe is created and how it started off in chaos and eventually there was order out of the chaos. And so that's what I'm trying to do with all the films that I make. And so, yeah, at the beginning of Sister Tempest, it's just all these disconnected moments. And all those disconnected moments eventually become connected in their own weird, in my own weird logic, they all become connected. So,
Well, I have a lot of theories and stuff, and obviously I'm going to refrain from mentioning anything specifically.
Sure.
Because this one hasn't been put out yet. But, yeah, I guess I'm one of those special people that got to see the movie before everybody else.
Right.
And one of the things that I noticed is, A, we have yet to mention that you, Mr. Joe Badon, are, like, a maestro of micro-budget.
Thank you.
Most of the time, you cannot tell that this is a very small-budget project. Like, what did you do Sister Tempest for? Like, $7,000?
Sister Tempest was 25, like, between 25 and 30,000.
Okay.
By the time of year was between, like, 8 and 10. So they're both tiny baby budgets.
Absolutely. And it doesn't look like that. Like, your cinematography is amazing. I mean, your cuts, your fades, all of it is gorgeous. So that led me to wonder, your scenes in which you have, like, the giant crushing the cars and the city and stuff, they look like they're kind of campy on purpose. Like, they very much harken back to the 50s, you know, monster flicks and stuff. Because with some of the editing that I saw in the movie, you know, I looked down and I see this little very obviously toy tank, and I was like, I think this is on purpose, like, intentional.
Yes. Well, so, I'm sorry. You might not be done. Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, so one thing that I kind of figured out early on was that you can make everything as cheap as possible, but if you have a good cinematographer and a good editor, then it'll make it look way better than it really is. So that's basically what I did. I mean, that feels like that's the magic. If you look at, like, behind the scenes of, like, even big budget films, and you see, like, the behind the scenes cinematography, you're like, that looks like dollar store costumes. You know, look at, like, even, like, Lord of the Rings. You see, like, the behind the scenes stuff. You're like, this stuff looks like it came out of Party City, some of it. But the cinematography...
Some of it probably did.
Yeah, probably did. The cinematography hides so much. It really creates, like, an illusion of, like, things being bigger budgets than they are. So I made sure that I found a cinematographer that was just could shoot stuff and make it look like $1 million. And
I was
lucky enough to find one. Daniel Waghorn has been, like, committed to collaborating with me for all the stuff that I ever do. And then my editor, Joseph Estrade, is just, I just lucked out and found, first of all, one of the most wonderful guys I know. The guy is just a saint. The guy's just got such a beautiful heart. So does Daniel. I just met these guys that have wonderful hearts that are willing to do stuff for the art, you know, first. And so, I'm just so lucky and blessed, really, is all it is. Because I don't know how to do that shit. If you gave me a camera and you told me to edit, it would not look like this. So I'm very
thankful. I'd be there with my crayons coloring on the lens of the camera, you know. I do this right.
I'm coloring, right? That's how you color a movie, right?
Absolutely. But that's one of the things that we talk about with a lot of our directors who do micro-budget. It's gathering the people that have the same dream as you and finding people like that and who are committed and do their best work and who hopefully are really good at what they do. And that is number one priority, is to get the people around you. You know, we do that with the podcast group too. You know, I mean, seriously.
Right.
You do that on any artistic level.
Yes. Well, that was, you know, I used to play music. I mean, I still play music. I write a lot of music for the movies that I do.
You did some music for the movie. That's,
yes.
I know it's your name up there.
I used to have, like, a band back in the day, you know, and I found it was so important to collaborate. Because when I, you know, back in like high school, college, I played guitar, but I never learned chords. I never learned scales. I just played. I was like really into like punk and really into jazz and really into noise. And I just believed in just playing. I didn't believe in learning. And so I gathered other musicians that we played together that were way better than me. And I was writing a lot of the music, but I was giving this music to musicians that actually knew scales, and they knew theory, and they knew all the stuff. And I was playing with them, and they all made me sound better. And so that's kind of what I've always done. It's like I'm technically not great, but I have ideas, and I have, like, a lot of drive to get those ideas made. So I'm just surrounding myself with talented people that are, like, okay with all my crazy ideas, basically.
Well, and that's a great thing. And the other thing I always have to say, particularly about the music, as I rewatched Sister Tempest before the show today,
yeah,
was the sense of it's not only the original music, but it's the other music, the Ave Maria and various mm-hmm. religious things that are within, you know, text and music, that they weren't written by you. I mean, the melodies, you had to, if they were, they sound exactly like something from the...
they weren't written by me. No. There's a few websites that I use. One is called freemusicarchive.org, and another one is called museopen.org. And they have, like with Muse Open, they have tons of public domain recordings that are classical and also like old chamber music and vocal choirs. And so, Ave Maria is like the oldest shit in the world. And so they have a bunch of choirs that have recorded and put it online for anyone to use. And I'm, like, finding all this stuff and, like, wondering why aren't more filmmakers. I feel like even wrong. I feel like I shouldn't be giving out this secret knowledge. But it's, like, all this wonderful music that people are giving for public domain or attribution only. So you're not paying them. But they're giving it out. And it's amazing music. So I just found I will go for hours and hours and hours just digging through songs. Like for Sister Tempest, I think I listened to at least partial songs of like 1,000 tracks, you know, like partial pieces. Yeah. I like just listen and listen and listen until I think I nailed it down to like 200 tracks. And then we ended up using like 30 or 40 of those tracks in Sister Tempest. And then I made some original pieces. And then my friend Jason Krupa made some original pieces. And then there was a band called Smogma that I just stumbled upon on Bandcamp, and they were so happy to be collaborating with me. And I was able to kind of cherry pick a few of their songs and use some of their songs in it. And then I just had other friends and other musician friends. A band called Think Less, Hear More, which is a local jazz band in New Orleans. That's where I'm from. And they donated a few tracks, and they recorded a few tracks. And so it's just collaborating with a wide array of musicians to get music that I wanted. And also, I like the idea of not just using one composer. I feel like
absolutely.
I feel like that can limit the way a movie feels. And with my movies, I want them to have like a cinematic mixtape sort of sound feel, because I'm doing sci-fi, I'm doing horror, I'm doing like dark comedy, I'm doing family dramas, I'm doing all these different genres, and so I want the
all
music
in one
to
movie
feel.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm back, by the way. I'm back.
I know.
I got raptured. I'm the one that got raptured today.
Did you leave us?
And had
yes,
you not
I
said anything,
you.
Nobody would have been the wiser, Carl.
I'm so glad you were gone, because I was talking so much shit about you that I was just hoping you wouldn't be offended. So I'm glad you're back.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
You can rescind the apology now. It's good, Joe.
Yeah.
But the one thing I do want to say is that I rewatched the film. I laughed a lot.
Yes. Well,
I mean,
it's a comedy.
I laughed a lot. There are some lines in there that are so dry and so funny that I didn't really realize it the first time that I watched it. Because I think part of it is that you're just so blown away about, you know, how you put it together and just what's going on. Like, what the fuck? Right? I mean, it is the primary explanation of a what the fuck movie. And I mean that in all sincerity and all obeyance to you. I'm now bowing. Okay? Seriously.
Thank you. Well, here's for me, the secret is I write the script as a comedy, but I don't tell my actors that. I don't tell anyone that. So I want them to lean into it as a real dramatic performance. But all of my lines are very sarcastic. But then they're also very sincere, because that's kind of how I am. Like, I'm going to be the person that's going to make a joke at a funeral, but also, like, sincerely love the person who died and miss them. But I'm going to be making jokes at that funeral, you know? And so that's kind of what I'm trying to capture in film, is this kind of, like, sarcastic approach to tragedy and to real life.
Gallows humor, man.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, did you talk about the speech at the beginning to Joe? Because
no,
we talked about
no. Well, that was some of the other things I was going to talk about, is my comment that I made to Carl, and it started a conversation because he misunderstood slightly. I was talking about Ginger's introduction, and,
right.
You know, she asks her, you know, go up there and just tell us, you know, why you chose Mariposa School for Gifted Young Ladies. And why the fuck did she choose to go to art school? This girl could have been a poet. Like, that whole monologue right there where she's talking about why she chose art and climbing over the mountains of crayons and the womb of my, you know. It was beautiful.
It's amazing. See,
and then,
I wrote that as a sarcastic comedic moment. And it's also...
Oh, it was.
I'm glad that you found
so
it beautiful.
Hard. But it was really pretty because I dabble in writing, and so words are my favorite thing. And I was like, that sounds so pretty, but wow, this is
hell yeah.
Funny.
Thank you.
Well,
you
also,
know, I love the over-description. You know, I love to over-describe everything. I love writing in the sense of, like, just lavishing, like, almost like that Shakespearean kind of, like, you don't have to, like, describe everything. But I love the way that is, because it's so absurd. You know, and so
well,
I love the absurdity of over description.
And when she was describing, you know, right after the karaoke scene, which was also lovely, but when she's describing to Anne the next day, or Anna, the next day, what it was like on the potato farm. And I'm just going to go ahead and go out there and say this. This is not going to ruin anything in the movie for anybody. I'm pretty sure that bitch is a potato.
amazing. Well, I can't wait for you to finish it so you can, all the secrets will be revealed and more questions will be left unanswered. So.
I got a lot of Irish heritage in me, so admittedly that may be a lot in part due to my inner nature and soul wanting it to be a potato.
Well, she comes from potato people, so... Which I just think
that's
just such a dumb line. I love it.
I know. She kept saying it, too. That's why I'm like, I don't know now. We going to have some potato babies. This is going to be interesting.
I'm not spoiling anything for you. You just have to finish it.
I'm going to, actually, right after this.
Awesome.
So one of the things I do want to get to as we go on here is you have a couple of projects that you're doing. So why don't you tell us what's going on now, Joe?
Cool. Yeah, so we just shot a short film called The Blood of the Dinosaurs. And it's basically a prologue to the next short film that I'm doing called The Wheel of Heaven. And we are running a Kickstarter for The Wheel of Heaven actually right now. So, or once this is once this podcast is on, it'll be going. So it'll be from June 22nd to July 23rd, I think, something like that. But so The Blood of the Dinosaurs is this short film about a children's host, like children's show host, kind of like Mr. Rogers, and he kind of teaches us the origins of oil. Where does oil come from? And, of course, that's The Blood of the Dinosaurs. And so that's kind of what that first little chapter is, and then the rest of it is in The Wheel of Heaven. And you can watch both of these films separately, and they'll make sense, or you can put them together, and they'll make even more sense. So it's kind of a two-parter. And if you with the Kickstarter for Wheel of Heaven, The Blood of the Dinosaurs is kind of part of the Kickstarter. So, like, if you give to, or if you, yeah, if you back the Kickstarter, you'll get both films. So that's the idea. That's kind of my sales pitch. It's terrible sales pitch, but that's what that is.
I mean, that's pretty good to me.
So I have to ask, okay,
sure.
Because you posted some pictures while you were doing Blood of Dinosaurs.
Right.
And I noticed the Glockenspiel.
Right.
Now, for those who don't know what a Glockenspiel is, it is a percussion instrument, bells, basically, and it's shaped in a specific way. And it looks like it's a weapon. Okay, now I'm not saying it is, Joe. I'm not saying – you don't have to tell me what the Glockenspiel is for, but I'm just saying there's a movie – called The Blood of Dinosaurs. There's a fucking Glockenspiel in it, and I have no clue, and I have to watch it now.
Well, I want to tell you, because you'll be deflated once you watch it. The Glockenspiel doesn't have much to do in the film, but you know what? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You know, you never know. It could be the apex of the entire story. I will say this, like, there's a scene in Blood of the Dinosaurs that is heavily influenced by Jim Henson's short film Timepiece, which I don't know if you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so the Glockenspiel is in that scene. So that's all I'm going to say.
Cool.
But, yeah, and so I didn't really get to, because I was not thinking, but I should probably describe Wheel of Heaven. Wheel of Heaven is kind of the second part of this two-parter story, but it's the bigger story. With Blood of the Dinosaurs, it's an introduction to the Wheel of Heaven, essentially. And then the Wheel of Heaven is this story about a young girl named Purity who car breaks down in the middle of the night on the side of the road. And she basically gets invited into this party. And then that party is kind of like this existential crisis for her life. And so it's kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'm telling people it's like Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Hour of the Wolf. But that's very shorthand for basically a very weird film.
Okay. So who is Max von Sydow in this? Seriously.
Max von Sydow would be the main character, Purity, who's basically having this, like, crisis of faith, crisis of life, like, kind of coming to a crossroads in her life and trying to figure out where to go, you know, essentially. And basically that comes from me. Like, I'm just, like, 45 or 44, upturned 45 sometime soon. And it's just that midlife crisis time in life, you know. So I'm obviously just wrestling with my own demons right now. Essentially, so.
Well, I have noticed that there's a lot of religious allegory, it seems.
Yes. Well, I was a pastor for about 12 years. I was a youth pastor, then associate pastor at a very non-denominational, Holy Ghost roller kind of church. And then before that, I was raised in Catholic church. I went through all the, you know, the rites of passage for a young Catholic man.
Confirmation and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it, me wrestling with faith is like my whole fucking life. Like that's like what takes up 70% of my brain, you know? So
happens to the best of us, you, man.
Yes.
But you know, that was one of the things, I mean, when we had the original podcast about Sister Tempest, I mean, that
right.
I saw that immediately. I
yeah.
mean, that's what I connected with. And my background is, as I don't know if you remember, Joe, I have a master's in church music. I have a minor in theology and a minor in philosophy. And I talk about crises. I am now organist at a Christian Science church, which basically you might want to try because you'll just be blown away. Seriously.
Hell yeah.
You know,
yeah, you know, like,
one-on-one, basically.
Yeah, you know, getting out of, like, that very mainline conservative Christianity, I definitely had to deprogram myself as to, you know, who God is, what all
yeah.
this is. Like, it's a lot of deprogramming. And, you know, I've only been out of the church for about 7 years. So it's still fairly fresh, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's basically what all my films have been about, is me wrestling with the meaning of life, wrestling with God, wrestling with all my shit. So I'm using this as a cathartic release. And so it's just therapy, and everybody's going along with it, which I think is weird. But so.
Yeah, I mean, I so connected with that because I grew up mainline, but being a church organist, I've played at so many different churches and seen
right.
so many different ways of worshiping, and like you, I got into the Youth Jesus movement of the 70s,
right.
which
right.
you know, and so on and so forth, and but I always I always you know, would see the differences, and I says, well, either, you know, they're all right and only one of them is right, or they're all wrong,
right,
and I got to a point where, like, nobody's perfect, nobody knows how to worship on this earth. We're only going to know when we die and we figure out where the hell we go. Right.
Exactly. I feel like we're just organisms on top of a body, and we're trying to connect with that body, and it doesn't. It's like universes apart. We cannot even fathom that shit. You know.
Right.
So.
And so a number of things that I did during that period of time of searching was, of course, you go to the Castanedas and so on and so forth. But what really got me was reading Philip K. Dick and Gnosticism.
Wow. Yeah,
and you know, this combination of everything, and that there are different spheres, and that we can't, we, you know, being on this one sphere, we can't connect to the other, or won't let us. And so you have to find a way to do that. You know what?
Yeah.
And of course there's Eastern religions, and I've just been like, I soak it all up and just figure out what works for me and what doesn't.
Yeah, you know, and also coming off of that point too, I don't see enough films doing, like, tackling this shit anymore. I feel like people are trying to just create entertainment, and films they're the hybrid of everything. They're the hybrid of prose and poetry and theater and art.
Music.
And animation. It's just every art form all together in one place, and to only make entertainment with that is just such a robbing humanity of something greater. And so I'm trying to, like, basically take back film and say, like, I want to use this as a spiritual and philosophical talking points, and actually, you know, look at film as poetry, look at film as something more personal than just making another fucking Ghostbusters movie, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I'm on my high horse.
Oh, no. I actually hurt myself laughing because it's one of those jokes that, you know, they like in Tropic Thunder, the guy has like 30 of the movies, the whatever movies that he made. Well, they just came out with a ninth Fast and Furious movie.
Right.
And I'm like, I never thought I'd live to see this day.
Oh, my God.
A ninth installment?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. How are these people not all dead yet?
Well, and the thing is, like, you know, you've got, like, you watch movies in the 60s and 70s, and they're wrestling. They actually are, like, wrestling with ideas and just, like, bigger philosophical ideas. You got guys like Bergman and Godard and people like that are experimenting with the way film is, and I see that less and less and less. And hopefully there'll be like a resurgence of that. And I hope that I'm tapping into like a zeitgeist of maybe a bunch of filmmakers that are all kind of doing it. I'm seeing filmmakers that are doing
it. We have a few like that recently.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm hoping it just gets bigger and bigger because I would love to ride that wave of a more, you know. Go ahead. Sorry.
By the way, I have to do a shout out to somebody, and I actually sent you his movie. And that's Austin Allen James, who is
I was going to bring him up.
And he actually responded to the announcement that I put on for this show, so hopefully he's listening. But his new film, which he did on a very small budget, has the same feel. I mean, the same questions being asked. Let's put it that way. Listen, they're not going to be like you. You're not going to see, you know, someone doing karaoke and then suddenly there are the happy flowers around her.
Of course.
Okay.
No, that's exciting. Like, that's what I do want to find people that are, like, have my same heart or, like, similar ideas. I want to find those people. Like,
definitely I have to watch that one then.
I've got to. I still haven't watched it yet.
The whole time I was watching Sister Tempest, I was thinking about that movie, and I was going to bring that up on the show today because I really, like, it made me think of, like, the way that you break down the scenes into kind of acts. He does that.
What's the name of the movie?
Hold on. I'll get that for you in a second.
I've got to know now. But I mean,
it's on YouTube for free.
Oh,
it's on
no
YouTube.
Ads.
With no
they,
ads.
They have it.
I'm doing
yeah,
this.
Normally, I hate YouTube movies, but
I understand.
Okay, hold on. I'll tell you this in a second. It's like who goes there or who is there or something like that.
Okay.
You with me. It's called You With Me.
You With Me. I love this. I love talking about this too.
And I think it's the letter U.
Okay, cool.
There he is.
Yeah, send me the link if y'all find it, because I am not finding it.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway.
I've got the link and a bunch of my stuff. But yeah, I'll send that to you after the show.
Some of my favorite directors.
Yeah, I started working on Swiss Army Man and Steve Jobs and a number thing, and he was able to get this. I'm just checking this right now. He's got two. Who's with me? And it is on YouTube.
I will send that to you again immediately. Please, that's amazing.
Because
awesome.
It's got like the whole religious aspect and a lot of questions and
some of my favorite directors have been just recently kind of coming up. Like Mickey Reese is one of them. He did a movie called Climbing
Ricky
of the Hunter.
Bates? I love Ricky Bates. I want him on this podcast so bad.
No.
Seriously.
Did you say Mickey Reese?
Mickey Reese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't know who that is, but I would like that person to.
Okay, then I'll give you some information on Ricky Bates.
Please do.
Trash Fire. You've got to watch Trash Fire. I'll find
Trash
it for you somewhere.
You told me about this movie, and I still haven't watched it yet.
Trash Fire.
The last time I was
amazing.
On your show, you told me about this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet.
Exactly.
Yes. I am looking up right now. I'm going to put it in my letter. I finally got a letterbox, so I'm actually putting watch list. I have a watch list now. Because I was I've just been sharing on Facebook, like, I'm going to watch this later. And I'm like, oh, there's a letterbox. I can make a list. This is great. No, but, like, one of my favorite directors right now is Mickey Reese. He just made a movie called Climb of the Hunter, and he's about to come out with a new one called Agnes, which is, like, a nun movie that's all about spirituality and the old wrestling with
God. You
stuff.
Need to get me information on him because I want him on the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, you would love his shit. I will definitely do that. And then there's another Miguel Lanzo. He did a movie called Jesus Shows You the Way to the Highway, and he did another movie called Crumbs. And his movies are great. They're such weird absurdity, but they still do wrestle with the idea of God, and they wrestle with a lot of philosophical ideas, and it's just beautiful shit. And it's just, I see a bunch of these filmmakers kind of all coming up together, and it's just great. It's very encouraging. So,
yeah, be sure you message me with these people in contact so I can get in touch with them. Because I still connect with that anyway. Go ahead, Roach.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that was part of the conversation Carl and I had earlier, just kind of talking over the show and stuff, was that the thing I've noticed is I am liking more and more, just what you were saying earlier, I'm more and more liking these, like, lower budget, you know, not so highly produced movies, because even though the storytelling, like, the actual telling of the story seems to go at a bit of a slower pace.
Right.
I really think that's better in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And you're getting more stories.
We are such ADD culture now. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I usually have to sit with something in my lap, like something to sew on or whatever to occupy my hands while I'm watching something. But
bad at this now. I'm like on Facebook the entire time watching a movie, usually like doing a bunch of other things. It's so rare that I actually sit down and just turn off everything and watch a film. And it's very, very rare.
I think part of that is because of COVID. You know, we're stuck in a house. We don't get to the theater. That's the one thing, a beautiful thing about the theater. You are there. And that's what you're supposed to do. Around the house, you're doing other shit because that shit needs to be done too.
Yeah, yep, exactly. That's the beauty of theater, and that's what we need to get back. I mean, fortunately, the theaters are reopening, finally. but hopefully, like, we need to keep those mom-and-pop theaters. You know, we need to keep the art house theaters. As few and far between as there are, there's still a few. And we need to keep those guys open because those are the ones that we're going to find weird films. We're not going to see the Marvel movies. And the thing is that's the way most movies should be presented, is without distractions in a dark theater with a crowd. That's what you want,
right. You
know? So,
you know, it's a communal experience, and we've lost that.
Yes,
we've lost
absolutely.
That.
Yep.
You know, so I'm looking forward, but I'm not going to go for a while yet. I'm still going to wait.
I understand.
But
totally. Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you what, it's just like the last film I saw in a theater, and I mentioned it briefly, was Baccarat, and before COVID hit. And they had the trailer for St. Maud. Now, I finally did get to see St. Maud, and I saw it
on my computer and that sort of thing, because
right.
John had it for a while from Stars,
right.
But it wasn't the same thing.
Well, you know, it's
I'm
like
sure.
There's a lot of, you know, theater troupes that are doing like Zoom theater, you know, like presentations of plays and stuff. And it's great to keep the juices flowing, but it is not the same. It will not replace in-person theater. Like, there's no way.
No,
so,
absolutely not.
Yeah, we need that communal experience. We need to go somewhere where we can't get on our cell phones. We've got to, you know, leave the world behind and escape into fantasy, you know?
So I have a final question for you, Joe. Basically, if you take a look at your films and of course I'm judging basically from Sister Tempest, there are so
right.
many influences. And I'm just wondering, are there specific films that had a major, major impact on you while you were growing up?
While I was growing up?
Young adult or whatever the case would be, right?
Right. I mean, growing up was, it's funny because, like, it's definitely changed over the years, but I can see, like, because I love weird shit. You know, like, I love weird music. I love weird movies. I love weird art. I just love the fringe of everything. And I always think it's funny when somebody's like, I like weird movies, but then they're listening to Beyonce, and I just don't understand. I'm like, how can you listen to normal pop music after you've watched Eraserhead? I don't get it. But anyway, but that's everybody's got their own thing. So I love the weird of everything. But, you know, growing up, you're a young kid, and you're just kind of like, Star Wars was like, I love Star Wars. My dad had a freaking Betamax tape of a pirated version of Star Wars that somebody had shot in the theater, you know. And I watched that movie until you couldn't watch it anymore. Literally, like, the tape just was all fuzz because I just watched it so many times. And then I also had, like, the behind-the-scenes of Star Wars, or I think it was The Empire Strikes Back. And so just watching all that behind-the-scenes and how everything was created, that, like, I think that probably influenced me more as a child than anything else, you know, as far as, you know, cinematically. And then in high school, I really got into Sam Raimi. I really got into Evil Dead 2. It was like, I think 1 year in high school, I watched Evil Dead 2 every weekend. And I tried to find friends who had never seen it before. And I sat them down and I made them watch it. I was just such a fan. It was such like nothing I'd ever seen before. It was like Three Stooges meets like, you know, like completely Cthulhu-esque, wild, batshit crazy horror. And it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school also, I really got into playing music, and I really got into John Zorn, who is a composer from like the 80s and 90s.
I know him very well. I actually met him at 1.2 in my
life. That's like a
dream
of mine.
No, I worked with Carl Fisher in the 80s.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. I don't want to ever talk to you again.
You can still talk to me. I've never worked in a music store.
But John Zorn is probably my biggest hero. And the thing about him was that he was like doing something I never seen anyone else do. And he was basically just taking a bunch of different genres and just mashing them together or just putting them right next to each other. Like, the one song that I always tell people that has probably influenced me more than anything else in my life is a song called Speed Freaks by Naked City. And it's a one-minute song, and they go through 30 different genre changes in 1 minute. So every 2 seconds, they're playing a completely different song that's a completely different genre. So it's like country to jazz to speed metal to hip-hop to noise to everything you can think of. And that one song probably just opened my mind. It's like, oh, anything's possible. Like, there's no limits. And so that's what I've tried to capture with Sister Tempest especially, and going forward, you know.
So. You know, one of the things also I should mention is that we're both members of a group called Abnormal Music. You should definitely check that one out if you have any interest at all. Now, I go back a generation from you, okay?
Right.
So my John Zorn was Frank Zappa.
Of course. Yes. Amazing. The guy is fucking brilliant.
You know,
and he was all about opening up. Yeah, well, he was all about opening up to, like, showing these, like, dirty hippies that just want to listen to rock music. He's like, listen to jazz, listen to fucking noise, listen to avant-garde, listen to John Cage, listen to different shit. And it's just, I love that. I love someone who goes in to kind of, like, the average sector and says, hey, check out weirder stuff. You know, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do. Is like, I'm trying to make a movie that's got all these B-movie elements, has all this horror elements, sci-fi elements, but I'm really trying to introduce more like experimental ways of storytelling and art house movies and all my influences that are stranger. I'm trying, you know, all the, I love Dadaism and Dada filmmaking. And so I try to stick that in there as much as I can without being like, over the top and doesn't make sense. So I'm trying to tell a story that's entertaining, but also have all this art house stuff in there.
Okay. Joe, I just want you to know that it's really apparent you like Dada. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Trust me on that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I didn't really discover Dada until probably 6 or 7 years ago when I left the church, and I was just kind of like digging through stuff that I digging through cinema and digging through art and stuff. And of course I, you know, Dada's from the 20s. So it's always been around, and I love Church of the Subgenius, and which is obviously Dada. And I loved all that stuff growing up, but I didn't know the roots were from Dada. And so, yeah, so now I'm just a huge fan of Dada, and I try to add that into my work as much as possible.
Now, one other thing, I do want to go back from one other thing, because I'm not sure if you mentioned this, Rachel, when you guys were talking about Sister Tempest, and I had gotten raptured. By the way, of course,
oh, no,
I got raptured.
We've been talking about you the whole time, like you said. So.
Yeah, I know. But the other thing was the costuming. And I thought I would kick that over to Rachel because she is a seamstress and that sort of thing. So talk a little bit about the costuming and what you do with that, Joe, and Rachel.
Well, yeah, so I have this wonderful collaborator named T.D. Roebuck who is around my age, who, like, gets the same references I do. And so she did some of the costuming, and some, like, not all of it for Sister Tempest, but going forward, she's doing more of my costuming because we kind of met on Sister Tempest, and she made the costume for the astronaut, and it was just such a fucking perfect, like, B-movie astronaut costume, you know? And,
exactly.
Yeah, she's fucking great. And I had a bunch of different collaborators on costumes with Sister Tempest, but T.D. was probably the first and foremost. But it was all just, you know, my love of 50s and 60s B-movies, 100%.
Well, that is very apparent in that one, I will say.
But you said you're a seamstress as well? I'm sorry.
I am.
Nice.
Hell
yeah.
I actually run a little sewing business with my mom, who lives next door to me, so... We have two sewing rooms.
I'm always up for collaborating, so I'm just going to throw that out there.
Hey, I am going to look you up on Facebook here in a little bit.
Nice.
And
yeah.
We should be Facebook BFF besties for, like, ever.
Yay.
And ever.
Yay!
The one thing I wanted to deal with the costumes is that, you know, you did it on a smaller budget, and yet those aliens look fucking amazing. But you know, you did it on such a limited budget. How the hell did you do that shit?
It's just from watching so many of those dumb B-movies. You know, you're just watching enough of them, and you're like, oh, yeah, that looks awesome, but it's obviously cheap. And so it's just like getting every cheap idea from every B-movie I've ever watched and then just putting them together. Like, obviously, the Z Allens are just like kind of like Sleeper, right, from Woody Allen. It's like obviously like this, the dumbest costumes, but they're great. They're funny. So you just do them as a joke, and people will be okay if they can see the zipper because it's a joke anyway, you know? And
right.
And like the Space Council, you know, like I was trying to figure out cheap ways to do everything. And one is just these people are in welder costumes. Like it's a very obvious like welder, you know, but welder costumes look great for sci-fi pieces. And then,
especially if you're going to be doing one that wants to harken back to cheesy sci-fi movies from the 50s and 60s. So it's like fucking perfect.
Exactly. It was great. You know, I did the concept art for the main guy, Shosham, the main robot judge. And I have a friend, Jesse Schumacher, who a local special effects guy, who I sent him the drawing, and I said, look, I don't have a lot of money. You know, what can you do for just a couple bucks? You know, not much. And he just basically just, like, took a couple sheets of this rubber and just cut it out to the design and just wrapped it around this dude. It was, like, this basically that simple. And it looks great because you get a good cinematographer who knows how to light the fucking scene great. And you can get away with cheaper costumes, and also you can get away with cheaper stuff if you have a little bit of the tongue in the cheek. You know, if you keep it comedic, you can get away with a lot more zippers showing. And so I'm aware of that. I'm not going to make anything super serious because I know I don't have a lot of money. But maybe if we had a huge budget, I might make things more serious, but I like comedy in my shit.
I don't think you should. Like, I loved like all of that. And by the way, I love what you did with God there. That whole, I know it's not a costume. There were some effects there, but that was cool. That's cool shit.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, are we talking about the little girl in the? In the which part are we talking about?
The Jesus and the accident.
Oh, yes, nice. Thank you. Yeah, so it was funny that Clint Carney, he's the special effects guy who actually did. He was also the angel or the god in that scene. He's like a major special effects guy. He did CGI work for Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix.
I love that show.
Yeah, such a great show. And the guy is he's a big fan. He's also a big collaborator with me. He's incredibly talented. He's also a writer and producer. And he flew down just to be in that one little scene from L.A., flew down to New Orleans to be in that one little scene. And God bless we were going to do like this third eye, my daughter's special effects makeup. She did most of the special effects makeup in Sister Tempest. It was all great, but it was so hot that day that the third eye that we made was just sliding off of his head. It was like bubbling off of his head. We could not get it to work. And what we ended up having to do is he just went in and made himself totally silver and did like a little like beam off the front of his for the eye. So it was all like fixing our fuck ups, basically.
Yeah, that is awesome. You also seem to have a thing for eyes. I've noticed that, or at least in this movie.
Oh, I love the third eye thing. I love that whole spiritual like symbology of the third eye, and also eyes and hands and ears and I don't know. I don't even know what it all means.
I said, you like people parts?
I do like people parts. Yeah, totally.
If they're sticking off people, I like them.
I'm obsessed with, like, floating heads and beheadings and decapitation. Like, not in a morbid way, but, like, in a, like, an artistic way. I don't know why, but...
No, I can tell you exactly why on that. Take a look at so many of the 50s and 60s LP covers.
Right, right. There's all
They're
those
all floating,
floating
heads.
Yes, totally. I'm a group. I'm joined a group on Facebook, and it's like the floating head archive. And yeah, 50s and 60s is full of floating heads. I don't know why. That's so weird.
Man, I really need to have you talk to my partner because he came to me on Saturday morning first thing, and it's these are my weird mornings. Instead of, you know, the normal good morning or how are you doing, did you sleep well, on the weekends after he's had enough sleep, he wakes up on Saturday mornings, and instead of good morning or how are you, it's, hey, I just had an idea that I don't think anybody's done yet. We need to recreate torture devices as furniture.
Oh, see, those are some deep-seated issues that he needs to work out. You know, so.
Well, I mean, the couple months ago, it was pops out of the bathroom randomly, and my father and one of our friends and I were all sitting on the couch, he wakes up, pops out of the bathroom, and starts explaining. He goes, I figured it out. And we're like, what? Figured what out? How to make a space elevator and why they haven't done one yet.
Well, I'm just saying, it's $100 an hour for couples counseling. So if you need it, I'm here.
Are you kidding? Know. I'm just going to write down all this weird shit and publish a book, and then I'll be able to pay for all the therapy I need.
That's right.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up here. Basically, Joe, you could be on for another hour, and we'd have a blast.
I'm not even sure what we talked about, but it was fun. I had a lot of fun.
But one of the things I do want to say is that I know you're busy and you do a lot with your films and that, but damn it, man, you could just be a regular guest on any podcast of ours you want to be. I don't care.
Thank you so much. Well, once I'm done editing, once I'm done filming and editing, and once we get past all that I'm going
to
take you up on that.
You'll have another one to do. You'll have another one to do.
Come
on, give me a break.
Hopefully I'll have another one. But, you know, the plan is that going forward after Wheel of Heaven, that we're going to be shooting for bigger budgets. Like it's just something that I can't keep doing to my friends and family and just being like having them all work for free or very little. So we are going to be shooting for real investors going forward after this short film. So fingers crossed, I've got a few scripts that I'm writing that are going to be fucking nuts. And then if all else fails, I'll still be making smaller short films. But I would really love to keep making big, you know, high concept feature films. And so any investors out there that want to give me money, I'm here. So.
Okay. So I know exactly how you present yourself and how you promote yourself. You are the micro budget Alejandro Jodorowsky.
If somebody actually said that, that's amazing. Thank you.
Excuse me, I want. Soft liver, motherfucker.
that's so beautiful. You don't understand how much that touches me. Really, that's what I want. You know, that's what I want to be. So.
Well, you know what? That's what you are.
Oh,
people just
you.
Have to recognize it. That's all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Seriously, I'm not joking about that.
Or the
you can use that as your promotion, okay? That's who you are now.
Okay. That's amazing. Thank you. And I'll take the Pope of Odd as well. I like that name.
Okay. Joe, as always, it is an
absolute pleasure to have you on. You are always welcome back. If you ever want to talk about anything else, all you have to do is tell me and I'll schedule it, okay?
Awesome. That sounds beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're going to go very quickly into what we call housekeeping. So tomorrow we continue. Yes, Rachel, what were you about to say?
I just said housekeeping.
Housekeeping, okay. So tomorrow we continue our Pride Month podcast, and we are going to be talking about LGBTQ films. Last week we did TV,
nice.
And this week we're going to be doing films. On Saturday, which is the last Saturday of this month, of Pride Month, we will be doing a watch of Best in Show. And that's
nice.
What we're going to be doing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and by the way, any film you ever want to watch, Joe, seriously, let me know. If it's on streaming, we will do a commentary watch. It'll be a fucking blast.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Definitely. Sounds good.
Okay. So that's what we're doing. On Friday, Adam is back with the Cathode Ray Mission, and he will be doing Fawlty Towers with his guest. And so we'll be doing that. And then upcoming, we have a number of things that have not been particularly scheduled yet. We have a gentleman by the name of Doug Stone that will be on with us. Doug is a voice character actor. He's a voice actor. And he is going to be featured on the new Netflix Resident Evil animated series. And we'll talk to him about voice acting. We also have a number of other things going on. We'll be doing a Robert Altman show here in a little bit and such. But those things are not set in stone yet. But we're very, very busy here at Deviant Legion. And again, you are one of the greatest guests and just wonderful person. I have such a blast with you, Joe. And Rachel, do you have anything to say at the end of the show to Joe or to our listeners?
He's okay.
Rachel, I'm so glad you're trying to keep the reins on this guy. But, you've got your work cut out for you.
Oh, right? Jesus Christ. And he's half a nation away from me, too.
Right.
But don't worry, if he starts messing up too bad, I will head my ass straight up to New York.
And also, friend me. Friend me on the Facebooks, please.
Absolutely. The Facebook interwebbings will ensure our continued contact.
Oh, and I should probably just plug real quick, if you want to support the Kickstarter, just go to wheelofheaven.com, and that'll redirect you to the Kickstarter, or you can go to Kickstarter and look up Wheel of Heaven, and you can support whatever the fuck I'm doing.
Nobody sure, including Joe, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. You're okay, Joe. I'm okay. Rachel, I'm not so sure about, but that's okay.
I took my meds this morning.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Amazing.
So, a pleasure. Thank you very, very much. We'll push this out to everyone. And as I said, you're always welcome back, sir.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go eat dinner. So.
So am I.
Thank you, guys.
Say goodnight, and we'll see you tomorrow, listeners. Thank you very much.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Are we off?
We will be in a moment. Hold on.
Oh, even better.
My computer
I like this kind of.